Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message.
We are continuing this new series called Buzzer Beater. And so I was at a basketball tournament, and just not going to name schools, I'm just going to give you mascots, and the Bulldogs and the Tigers were playing. And at halftime, the Tigers were up by 18 points. I mean, when they were going to the locker room, they were like, oh yeah, the basketball gods are shining on us today. I mean, they were walking proud, talking loud, and drawing a crowd, y'all. And so by the time they got to, in the second half, they got to the fourth period, that 18-point lead had shrunk down to only like 12 points. We find ourselves at the end of the game. There's 10 seconds left. The Bulldogs had cut the deficit all the way to just 2 points. And they have the ball. They're down on their end. And as the clock expires, the ball clearly leaves his hand. 3-point basket. Whoosh. Nothing but net. The Bulldogs win. The Bulldog side of the gym goes absolutely wild. The bench of the Tigers are like, yeah! You know, it's all slow motion. I mean, that place was absolutely crazy. And in that moment, in the pandemonium, in the chaos, I had this thought. Now, that's going to be a good sermon series. You know what I'm saying? That's how BK rolls, right? There are times in our life it feels like God just goes down to the wire. Matter of fact, there's times in our life that it feels like, God, you're late. We've already lost. We're going to lose. Like, we're getting beat. Where you at, God? David had a lot of those moments. Psalms chapter 6, verse 2 captures one of those moments. He says, God, have compassion on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Help me, heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. Verse 3, I am sick at heart. Like, I'm down. I'm depressed. I love this. How long, O Lord? Like, you've got me in this waiting path. How long, O Lord, until you show up? How long, O Lord, until you restore me? And out of nowhere, buzzer beater. It's captured in this verse captures the theme of this whole series. It's Isaiah 49:8. And it says, and this is what the Lord God says. Maybe some of you today, this is why you're here. You're here for Isaiah 49:8. At just the right time, I will respond to you. On the day of salvation, I will help you. At just the right time. Listen, there's some great buzzer beater stories in the Bible. Pastor Matt talked about one in Daniel in the lion's den last week. I think about Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, who was dead in a tomb for 3 days. Probably the greatest buzzer beater story that comes to mind is the story of Jesus on the bloody cross and the empty tomb. Imagine being one of his disciples. Imagine being one of his closest followers, seeing him nailed to that cross, seeing him laid in that tomb. But just as God said to Isaiah, at the right time, I will respond to you. It's fine. I'll just amen myself. Amen, Pastor Brent. If y'all going to be golf church today, I'm cool with that. I mean, Pastor Matt gets up here and he does all that. And that's fine. That's fine. That's cool. One of the buzzer beater stories that I want to look at in the Bible, I hope just speaks hope to you. Like, that's one of the things I feel like the Lord has spoken into me and for 2020 is, man, just speak hope. The gospel is full of hope. And I know it feels like we're down. I know it feels like our team's getting beat. You know what I'm saying? But Scripture is full of, at just the right time, I will respond to you. At just the right time, I will help you. And so the story we'll look at today is one of the fathers of our faith. We call that the patriarchs. The story's found in Genesis. And he really could play that, God, where are you card? It's the story of Joseph. And his story concludes. It kind of wraps up the book of Genesis. It starts in about Genesis 37 and goes all the way to the last chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50. And if you're not familiar with the story of Joseph, man, just go read it. It's a lot. There's a lot to cover. I'm going to kind of hit some of the highlights. I'm going to try today to kind of to make some of the big points out of the story to kind of tie this into our buzzer beater moment. Joseph was the great grandson of Abraham. So Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob had 12 sons, of which Joseph was the favorite of those 12 sons. When we first meet him in Genesis chapter 37, he's already a young man. He's probably in his teens. He's a little bit arrogant. His brothers already knew that he was dad's favorite. But one night, he has a dream. The Bible doesn't say this. This is part of what I like to call the pretending part of Scripture. It's in the white space. It's the part of the stories we don't know. So sometimes, if you'll forgive me, I like to embellish them just a little bit, because we don't exactly know how this conversation went down, but it might have gone something like this. Hey, Issachar. They probably called him Izzy for short, like his street name, so he got credit. Yo, Izzy. You know what I'm saying? How you sleep last night, Izzy? And Issachar goes to say, Oh man, it was pretty, and Joseph just cuts him off, doesn't even let him finish. He didn't even know if he said it was pretty good or bad. He just cuts him right off. Oh man, I slept great too. Probably because I had this crazy dream. Just get this, man. We were all like out in the field and we were like bundles of grain, and then your grain started bowing down to me. Isn't that crazy? Like, I don't know what that means, but it probably means I'm better than you. Like, I don't know what that means, but it probably means you're going to be working for your boy. I don't know. But the day came when the older brothers had the opportunity to get revenge upon Joseph. When they had the opportunity to kind of rid themselves of their Joseph problem. So the other brothers, the older brothers, they were out traveling and tending the flock of sheep. But the father knew they needed supplies. So he goes, Joseph, listen, I want you to take this donkey of stuff, take this food and take it. Go find your brothers. You have to do some hunting. I think I know where they're at, but you'll have to go find your brothers. I want you to take these supplies to them. So that's where our story picks up in Genesis chapter 37, verse 23. So when Joseph arrived, this is when he finally finds his brother and he gets there, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. So dad, Jacob, had given him what's called the coat of many colors. And it was kind of to signify, he's my favorite. None of the other brothers got such a majestic, such a beautiful coat. And so, of course, he's wearing it, like to remind the boys, I'm dad's favorite. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There wasn't any water in it. Verse 25. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and they saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming towards them. And it was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Verse 26. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain by killing our brother? Then we'd have to cover up our crime. Verse 27. Instead of hurting him, let's just sell him to these Ishmaelite traders. After all, he's our brother. He's our own flesh and blood. And the brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were actually Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern, sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took him to Egypt. God! It's the end of the fourth quarter, and your team's not playing very good. Like, we're behind. I mean, arrogant Joseph, he now finds himself separated from his family, separated from his father. He's sold as a slave. Now he's going to be living in a foreign country as they take him to Egypt. Ain't nobody bowing down to you now, Joseph. There ain't no wheat bowing down to you now. What's up? You know what I'm saying? That dream you had, it's over, it's gone, it's done. And so the Bible tells us that Joseph, once he's in Egypt, is sold to a man by the name of Potiphar, who's actually a high-ranking official in the Egyptian government, and Joseph just proves himself. Eventually, Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of everything that he owns. But Potiphar's wife, she's a little on the crazy side. You know what I'm saying? She gets a little obsessed with Joseph, and one day she kind of has him cornered. Joseph, come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man. So big and so strong. No. Joseph, like nobody will know, just be our little secret, Joseph. And he's like, girl, you crazy. That's the BKV version of this story, all right? And so Joseph runs from her, but she's able to grab a hold of his tunic, like his outer garment shirt that would just easily slip off. And as he's running, she's actually able to grab that shirt. And now she's embarrassed, now she's mad, now she has his shirt in hand, and she starts screaming, help! Joseph tried to take advantage of me. And because of this false accusation, Joseph actually is thrown into prison. Now, my wife told me that this is Valentine's weekend and I should tell sweet, soft, romantic stories. But instead, we're going to talk about sports. Because everybody loves sports, right? Which she says, no. But if you're a sports fan, even if you're not a sports fan, we love good, close games that are tense and back and forth. I mean, there's two types of games that I'll just stop watching. One of them is like when my team is just like crazy beating down on the other team. You know what I'm saying? So I'm an OSU fan, so that doesn't happen very often. Like, I don't know what that feels like, okay? But sometimes there's those non-conference games, and your team's winning by 50, and you're like, okay, this is just boring, and I got other stuff to do. So I'll stop watching that type of game. The other type of game is when my team is getting a crazy beatdown, and we're losing by 50. Like, this is embarrassing. This is just humiliating. I'm out, right? We love close games, especially when our team wins. Especially when Sooner Magic, also known as the refs cheat. Am I right? I'm right. Okay? And our team, swoosh, makes the buzzer beater. We don't care about the stories very much where our team's getting a beat down, when our team's behind, when our team's not winning, when our team's been sold into slavery, when our team's been separated from his family, when our team's been falsely accused, when our team's been put in prison. Come on, Jesus! We need a buzzer beater. When I look at Joseph's story, and even when I look in my life and I look back at those moments, when we're behind, one of the things that I see that in my waiting, God is working. You're going to see that throughout these high points and throughout this story of Joseph. In my waiting, God is working. When Joseph was waiting, when he was in slavery, when he was falsely accused, when he was in prison, in all of those moments, in my waiting, God is working. You can't see God working because Joseph is sold as a slave. That don't look like God's working. You can't tell that God's working when Joseph was in prison, but in the background, God was working. Let me show you Genesis 39, verse 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did, as he served in the home of this Egyptian master. God had favor on Joseph, even in difficult circumstances, like you've been separated from your dad. You've been sold into slavery. Listen, if you're just focusing on your setting, you will miss God's blessing. If Joseph was just focused on the fact that I don't get to see my dad, if Joseph was just focused on the fact, well, now I'm stuck here in Egypt, and he moped around all the time, he would have missed the fact that God actually had his hand on him and was blessing him even in the midst of his circumstances. In his waiting, God was working. Later in that chapter, Genesis chapter 39, when he's been falsely accused and he's been thrown in prison, verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph in prison. And he showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. He's a prisoner, but he's running the prison. The warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. While Joseph is in prison, God was working. And actually, as you dig into the story, and I really encourage you to go back and read it. I just love the story of Joseph. God had orchestrated that there were actually two other fellow prisoners incarcerated at the same time that Joseph was there. One was the king's cupbearer, who was a highly trusted official or servant of the king. And here's why, because this is what would happen. There were always people trying to kill the king. And so the cupbearer would actually drink out of the king's cup in the king's presence just to make sure, you know, that there wasn't any poison in it. And then once the king saw him do that, then the king knew this cup was safe to drink out. Well, if the cupbearer wasn't trusted, he could go, doop, doop, here you go, king. And he could, you know, the same thing for the king's chef. He had to be trusted, because if anybody was could have access to poison the king, it'd be the guy that cooks his food. So while Joseph is in prison, the king's cupbearer and the king's baker are in prison at the same time. And they both have dreams. And Joseph kind of hears about their dreams. And it would have been so easy for Joseph just to go, I don't want to hear about dreams. That's the last thing I want to hear about. Dreams are what got me in this mess. Remember that whole, hey, my brothers are going to bow down to me. That clearly is not how I'm stuck here in prison. I'm in the lowest of lows. I once had a dream and it was way off. So I don't want to hear about your dreams. I don't care. Clearly, I'm not the dream guy. Don't tell me, because I don't know what they mean. I get dreams wrong every time. But he didn't do that. He heard their dreams. He let God speak through him. And he interpreted those dreams, which also tells me in my waiting, yes, God is working, but in my waiting, I am growing. I'm mature. I don't always have to. I can give in and become a victim. I can give in and whine. I can be Eeyore. I can whine about all my circumstances. I don't have to get better. I can choose bitterness. Bitterness is easier. Anger is easier. Resentment, that's easy. But for Joseph, in his waiting, he chose to grow. He chose to mature. He chose to deal with his anger. He chose to deal with some of his bitterness. He had to get past his desire for revenge on his brothers. So while he's in that growing, while he's in that waiting, he had to learn humility. Remember? He was walking proud, talking loud, drawing a crowd. Oh, I'm daddy's favorite. I had a dream, you're going to be bound down to me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But it was the life had just beaten some humility into him. Sup, Judah? I'm daddy's favorite. You're not. I got big dreams, boys. You're going to be working for me. And it just, he had to learn some humility. And listen, if the hard things of life fail to teach us humility, we only get older. We don't get more mature. In his waiting, Joseph had to heal. He had to learn how to heal. Otherwise, Pharaoh's cupbearer, when he talked about the dream, then Joseph would have just kept his mouth shut. He wouldn't have said anything. I don't want to hear anything about dreams. The idea of a dream would just trigger him and his memory of his dream that he had a long time ago and how that's failed. When Joseph's family finally has the chance to reunite with him, and you'll see that in the story of Genesis, comes this moment where Joseph is confronted with his brothers. And they actually do come and bow down and beg for food. An unhealed Joseph would have said, oh, you want food? How about I make you a slave and I give you food? How about I do to you what you did to me? But he didn't. In his waiting, Joseph chose to heal. We've heard the old cliche, time heals all wounds. That's not true, and I can prove it to you. You and I both know people who were hurt, who were abused, who were abandoned years and years and years ago, and yet those wounds still are controlling their actions and the choices that they make today. God heals all wounds through time if you let him. Amen. Part of our mission is we want people to know God, and we want people to find freedom. We want people to find that healing. We just believe that comes through life-giving relationships. There's too many verses in the Bible to back that up, like bear up one another's burdens or confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. We just think that healing comes as people come along beside us, lock arms, bear up our burdens. We can just talk about our struggles together, and that's why we have small groups. That's the execution of we want people to find freedom. That just happens in relationships. I know you got a lot going on in your life. We didn't go, you know what, I think people at Hillspring are really bored. Let's think of one more thing they can do. Pick me, Brent. Okay, let's have life groups. Let's have small groups. Listen, we know you are so busy. You have so much other stuff going on. We also know that spiritual life-giving relationships are so important in our growth, in our maturity, in our healing as Christians. Joseph, while he's in waiting, he chose to heal. Maybe this is your year. Maybe this is your buzzer beater year that you decide, I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to learn to trust again. I'm going to let God heal me. And in his waiting, while Joseph was growing, he had to learn how to forgive. And that's hard. And I say that, and some of you want to push away from it already because, like, Pastor, if you knew what had happened to me, if you knew my circumstances. Listen, in Genesis 41, God orchestrated these moments and these events where he was actually presented to Pharaoh to interpret a dream that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh had this dream about cows eating cows and corn eating corn, and one of those servants, the cupbearer or the baker, I forget which one it was, but they're like, oh, Pharaoh, I know a guy. Let me go get him. And so they bring Joseph out of prison, present him to Pharaoh, and he describes the dreams and what happened. And this is what the dreams warned of. That there would be 7 years of plenty. There would be 7 years of good crops. There would be bountiful. But those 7 years would be followed by 7 years of famine. And they would consume and eat up all of the good years of plenty. Pharaoh was so impressed by Joseph that he actually makes him prime minister. He puts him in charge of everything in Egypt. The famine was not only in Egypt, but it was far-reaching. And it reached where Joseph's family was. His father Jacob and their brothers, the famine affected them as well. They were out of food, but they had heard in that 7 years of famine that there's food in Egypt. We don't know why, but Egypt has food. So when the brothers show up to buy food in Egypt, guess who they have to talk to? There he is, Joseph. And he's dressed in his Egyptian because he's the number two most powerful person in Egypt. He's got all the Egyptian garb on. He speaks the Egyptian language. They didn't even recognize them. But he had matured through the hard parts of his life because he chose to grow instead of get bitter. Joseph was able to forgive. Joseph was able to see God working in his waiting. Joseph was able to grow while he was waiting. He was able to see that God had orchestrated all this. It wasn't that God caused the bad things, but God used the bad things. God had... The stuff where my team is losing, the stuff where it feels like life is heavy, the stuff where there's years in jail, there's stuff where you've been falsely accused, there's stuff where your family betrays you. God used all of that for this buzzer beater moment. Which leads me to number three. In my waiting, people are watching. You ever see somebody just lose it? Like they get caught up in the emotions of a moment and like they don't realize that everybody's watching. They just lose control of their own mind and their own emotions. And they create this scene where everybody around them, their eyes are real big and they just kind of back away and everything gets real quiet. And the person that's going off like the Tasmanian bottle rocket doesn't even know what's going on. So the Bulldogs and the Tigers. The story I told you was the inspiration for this whole series, okay? Remember, the Tigers went in at halftime up by 18. But that lead had gradually gotten less and less and less and less. And there's about 4 minutes left in the game. And the Tigers coach calls a timeout. And he is just fired up mad. And so my role in this is the PA announcer. I make announcements and I announce fouls and I play music. And so I have this software on my iPad. It's really cool that, like, I can just punch a button and it plays music, you know? Sorry, front row. That was really embarrassing for me and you both. And so, 4 minutes left in the game. Their lead is squandered. They still have the lead, but it's down to almost nothingness. So he calls a timeout, and I have to make the announcement.
Timeout on the floor. Tigers, 30-second timeout. That's really how I do it. It's not that funny. I mean, am I doing it wrong?
And so I said, timeout on the floor, 30-second timeout. And as I reach to punch the button, Tiger coach just, and he goes, oh, like a Tasmanian devil. And he's just yelling. And the whole gym, because gyms are loud, man. I mean, people are talking, cheerleaders are cheering. And he is so loud. The whole gym just goes quiet. And everybody's looking at him. And I panic. Because it was my job to punch the song and cover him up. And I'm like, oh, and I panicked. And what like took me a second and a half felt like 23 seconds. And all this, well, I forgot the song I was going to play. And I got this whole screen if I play the wrong song or whatever. And so I just punch a button. The song that I selected in that moment was, "She's a maniac, maniac for sure." And I'm looking. Probably wasn't the best song for that moment. Well, in your waiting, people are watching. And when people were watching Joseph, this is what they saw. They saw character in the midst of crisis. Sold as a slave, he still worked hard. He was still trustworthy. Potiphar put him in charge of everything he owned because he saw something in Joseph. He was falsely accused, still did the right thing. Galatians 6:9, never get tired of doing what's good. For the right time, you'll reap a bountiful harvest. So he's in prison, but he's in charge of the prison because the warden saw something in him. He put Joseph in charge of the whole jail. When he was in this time, people were watching. They saw character in the midst of crisis. How do you act when you get squeezed? What people saw in Joseph was his talent still being used in turmoil. Listen, don't let the storms of life stop you from being all that God created you to be. Hey, Joseph, you think you can help me out? I've been abandoned by my brother. Hey, Joseph, you think you can help me move that? Don't you know? I've been betrayed. I didn't do it. She falsely accused me. In the pit or in the prison, Joseph never made an excuse. He still used his God-given talents in the midst of turmoil. When people looked at Joseph, they saw spiritual in spite of his surroundings. Joseph, I hear you can interpret dreams. Nope. But God can through me. Genesis 41:38. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man?" Catch this. So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. That's what they saw. As a man that was full of the Spirit of God. Your kids are watching how you deal with stress at work. Your family is watching how you deal with the situation where you didn't get what you wanted. The people around you are watching how you respond when forgiveness is required. When they looked at Pharaoh, what they saw was a person that was full of the Spirit of God. Buzzer beater. God showed up. In this story, the good guys won. Joseph's eventually united with his family. Joseph saved his family. He moved them all to Egypt, gave them some great land. Actually worked out a deal where they got to be the shepherds that would take care of Pharaoh's own flocks. And at the end of the book of Genesis, in the last chapter, verse 20, at the end of all that, when their brothers come to him and like, "Joseph, are you sure you're not mad? Because like Dad said," you know, they play the Dad said card. And this is how Joseph had processed all of that. He said, "Listen, what was meant for evil, God meant for good." We sang that this morning. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. When the enemy thought that Joseph was sold as a slave, God's plan has been postponed. The enemy thought when Joseph was in prison, the enemy thought, his destiny now has been derailed. But Isaiah 49:8 sums it up. And this is what the Lord says to you. At just the right time, I will respond to you. At just the right time, foosh, buzzer beater, God's going to show up and he's going to show up big for you. At just the right time, I will respond to you. On the day of salvation, God says, I will help you. And some of you are stuck in prison today. You're frustrated. You've been betrayed. You've been abandoned. You've been falsely accused. And you're doing everything you know to do. And you're just stuck. And I would tell you that in your waiting, God's working on your behalf.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, Visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.